Your scripture readings today will be from the New Revised Standard Version Bible, and your first reading will be from Hebrews chapter 5, 5 through 10. And it says, "So also Christ did not glorify himself in becoming a high priest, but was appointed by the one who said to him, 'You are my son, today I have begotten you.' As he says also in another place, 'You are a priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek.' In the days of his flesh, Jesus offered up prayers and supplications with loud cries and tears to the other one who was able to save him from death. And he was heard because of his reverent submission. Although he was a son, he learned obedience through what he suffered. And having been made perfect, he became the source of eternal salvation for all who obey him, having been designated by God a high priest according to the order of Melchizedek." And your second reading today is from John chapter 12, 20 through 33. "Now among those who went up to worship at the festival were some Greeks. They came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee, and said to him, 'Sir, we wish to see Jesus.' Philip went and told Andrew. Then Andrew and Philip went and told Jesus. Jesus answered them, 'The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Very truly, I tell you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains just a single grain. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. Those who love their life lose it, and those who hate their life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, there will my servant be also. Whoever serves me, the Father will honor. Now my soul is troubled, and what should I say? Father, save me from this hour? No, it is not. It is for this reason that I have come to this hour. Father, glorify your name.' Then a voice came from heaven, 'I have glorified it, and I will glorify it again.' The crowd standing there heard it and said it was a thunder. Others said, 'An angel has spoken to him.' Jesus answered, 'This voice has come for your sake, not for mine. Now is the judgment of this world. Now the ruler of this world will be driven out. And I, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all people to myself.' He said this to indicate the kind of death he was to die." For the people of God, the word of God to the people of God.
There's a story, it's been around the block a couple times, you may have heard it. It's actually from a book called The Unexpected Universe, about a man called the Star Thrower. The story is written by the late Lauren Isley, and it goes like this. On a beautiful tropical beach, occasionally the tide and surf would be just right, and they would combine and cause a lot of shellfish to be cast upon the beach. Some of these shellfish were very beautiful. And so after they were cast upon the beach, professional collectors and sellers would descend on the beach and swoop up all the shells and take them home, where they would boil them and clean out all the flesh of the animals inside them, and then sell the shells to tourists. Some of the shells were very valuable, for they were very rare, and a lot of money could be made by a diligent collector. Now, one morning, after the moon and wind had been just right, and many shellfish had been tossed upon the beach, a man was seen at the far end of the beach, all by himself, picking up starfish one by one and throwing them back into the sea. Curious about what he was doing with the starfish while so many people were busy collecting shellfish, someone went over to him and asked him if he too collected things on the beach. "Only like this," he replied. "I collect only the living." And throwing another starfish back into the sea, he said, "See, one can help them." He was asked how what he was doing could make such a difference in the face of all the collection that was going on. As he threw another starfish back into the sea, he turned and said, "It made a difference to that one." I think this story actually tells us a lot about Jesus and about ourselves. You see, in the midst of the world, most people exploit things for their own personal benefit. Most people are shellfish collectors. They take every advantage to get ahead, to gain more than they already have, and even the things of exceptional beauty are not exempt. Given the right circumstances, people rush to pick up what is suddenly and unexpectedly made available, ignoring the suffering that is all around them in their hurry to look after themselves. Jesus was a star thrower. He moved among us, who are like the dying starfish, longing for the ocean from which they have been tossed. And instead of taking what he could from the ocean, instead of seeking to enhance and to enrich his own personal life, he paid attention to those who were in need. He collected for the living. He helped them instead of helping himself. In obedience to a higher law, Jesus came among us to rescue and reclaim lost souls, to set us free from power of sin and death, and by returning them to the ocean of God's love, God's law, and God's power. Jesus came to restore wholeness to those who lay helpless and stranded upon the shore of life because either the tide and the wind had cast them, or, as is so often the case with us, but not so often in the case of starfish, because they had thoughtlessly and foolishly stranded themselves upon the shore. And Jesus did this at a cost to himself. As he said to a man who thought to follow him, "Foxes have holes, and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head." You know, Jesus renounced everything for the sake of bringing life to those around him, his family, his home, and finally, his very life Jesus would lay down so that others might live, so that others might know the blessings of God, and others might be returned to the ocean of God's love. Now, some might say the cost of this is too high to expect of us. We are not Jesus. We don't have special breaks that he had. And it's true that we are not Jesus, but we are all called to follow Jesus and to have his mind within us. And it's also true that Jesus had some special breaks, but God has promised these very same breaks to us if we would but walk with Jesus as he walked with us. Remember that old song, "I want Jesus to walk with me. I want Jesus to walk with me. All along my pilgrim journey, I want Jesus to walk with me." May we want Jesus to walk with us, because the power of Jesus and the love of Jesus, yes, the compassion of Jesus and the joy and the sorrow of Jesus and the life everlasting of Jesus are available to us. They are available to us for the asking. If we but follow him, if we are willing to walk as he walked and die as he died in obedience to the Father. Jesus said this, and we talked about it in Scripture today, "Unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains a single seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds. The man who loves his life in this world will lose it. But the man who hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. This is part of the law of God given to us in a new covenant, which is a law written upon our hearts and which is fruitful in us if we allow ourselves to hear the word and if we then heed the word. But too often we are like those spoken of in the book of Hebrews. While we ought to be teachers of spiritual truth, we end up needing someone to teach us the elementary truth of God's word all over again. We need someone to draw our attention to that which is written within us. And is very hard and so apparent in the structure of our world if we only have eyes to see it. Now, it's human nature what Jesus said. And Jesus knew this inner law of God, this law that states that we seek more for ourselves, and the more we seek for ourselves, the more attached we become to the world. The more we seek to avoid pain and suffering, the more we ignore the needs of others and seek instead to meet our own, the more wretched we become and the closer to death we are. Friends, I don't think Jesus wanted the pain of the cross. Jesus did not want death. In fact, he prayed to God that the cup would pass him by. And I suppose we do that too in our own ways. And we can't imagine that Jesus felt good about how his family doubted him, how his friends betrayed him. But even so, Jesus was faithful to God, was faithful to God's law. Jesus knew that by caring for others, by putting the love of God and neighbor ahead of his own desires, that God would be glorified, that many who were lost would be found, and that Jesus would be raised up not just on a cross of suffering, but on a cross of glory as well. Jesus said, "What profits it a man to gain the whole world, but to lose his soul?" There are many around us today with lost souls. We see them walking in neighborhoods and along city streets. You know, people who you can just tell there's something missing, there's something vacant within them. And these people with lost souls, they may cling to their families. They may crave acceptance of love and hope to find it by gaining power and influence over others, or by simply doing what everyone asks of them, no matter how good it is or how bad it is for them or for the one who has asked them of it. Still, other people have lost souls who have decided to drug themselves into a stupor to avoid the pain they feel. They use the wonderful things God has given us to conquer physical pain with, or the things that God provides for simple enjoyment to deaden themselves in all feeling, for they don't like themselves and they cannot find joy in this world. And there are so many people who hold tightly to their lives out of fear, so tightly that they refuse to experience their lives in the fullness that God has made available to them in both good times and bad times. They are turned in on themselves and their own needs rather than be able to turn outward and to embrace the world. Think of the people we have most difficulty with in our lives, of those whom we do not like and find it hard to love. Think of those whom we pity, and when we have the strength and grace to love them, really find it so hard to do. Don't many of them share this trait in common? Are they not wrapped up in themselves, clinging to things that others have put aside, whether it be resentments and hates and fears, or more simply, and just as difficult to deal with, an inflated estimate of themselves. And who do we admire in life? Who do we glorify in our heart of hearts? Is it those who win the lottery? Or those who are famous for building some great company? Or in winning some great war? Or do we glorify and admire deep within us those who show true love for others? Those who have accepted us and others in their weaknesses as well as in their strengths? Do we not admire those and sometimes even gently chide those who give of themselves and ignore what we think their own needs are or should be? Don't we want to hug and encourage them and thank them for what they do? Don't we want to give them a bit of what they give others? Now, Jesus told the truth, and at times he told it very strongly. Those who put their lives first will lose them, but those who hate their lives in this world will save them, and they will keep them until eternal life. Now, that truth is meant to grab our attention and to remind us that we ourselves stand in the way of what God has in mind for us to see and to experience. So often when we walk in the forest, the only thing the lumberjack sees are trees that are ripe for harvesting. The only thing that a carpenter sees are different kinds of woods for different kinds of furniture and buildings. And the only thing the hunter sees is the places in which the animals might hide when the season is open. And all the farmer sees is fertile land that would benefit from a good forest clearing. But friends, the forest is a wonderful and magical place of beauty, full of life, full of God's presence for those who walk in it, with eyes who are free to see it all, with hearts free of desire to make it into something that meets their own needs, though well it may seem for those needs to be met. What I'm saying to you is simply this. What we really need in life cannot be grasped by us. It cannot be fashioned by our own desperate efforts. It can't be taken from us from the shelf in the store. It can only be received as a gift from God, a gift that comes to us and comes to all those who give up trying to grasp it, trying to fashion it in one way or another, trying to take it for themselves. A gift that comes to all who follow Jesus and with him love God and those around them that God has trusted to their care. You see, Jesus was a star thrower, a life giver. He walked among us as one who cared for the living and sought to restore them to the ocean of God's love. And because he was faithful in this, God glorified to those around Jesus, those who felt his care and his compassion. They praised God for what Jesus said and did and for the love that he poured out on them. And they in turn gave back to him. Love given is love multiplied. Love only taken is love lost. God glorified Christ upon the cross. He multiplied the work that Jesus did on earth, rewarding him for his faithfulness by granting to all who call upon his name and all who walk in his way forgiveness for their sins and life everlasting. Jesus was a seed. Jesus was a seed as you and I are seeds. He was a seed which did not stay lifeless in the bag, but which instead fell to the ground, gave up all that made him a single seed, and thereby giving life for others. Like the star thrower, Jesus could enrich himself in this world, but he chose instead to follow God's law of love. And in doing so, Jesus conquered evil and destroyed the power of sin and death. Today we are called to empty ourselves of our desire to save our life as it is, as the old song goes, to turn our eyes upon Jesus and to look full in his wonderful grace. And by calling upon the name of Jesus, the strength that you might may become a seed instead of remaining lifeless in the bag, a seed that falls to the ground, that receives new life and gives new life to the world. Alone, we are nothing. Alone, we are inert. We have no power that lasts beyond this day. But with God, we are a mighty host, able to endure and to triumph with those who are responsive to God's call. Praise be to God. Praise be to Christ our Savior.